You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me to Exodus 15. I want to teach tonight just on go through scriptures on healing. Just start in the Old Testament, just start going through scriptures, so many of them. In fact, it is an amazing thing when you think about churches that there's churches that believe in healing, churches don't believe in healing. It just sounds funny to even say it. It's like saying there's churches that believe in Jesus, people don't believe in Jesus. Well, all churches, Christian churches, believe in Jesus. But amazingly, there's some churches that don't believe in healing that believe in Jesus. In other words, they've relegated that part of Jesus to a time period instead of to his character, his nature. In other words, God did something almost like, it would almost be like a covenant, you know, like we're under a different covenant now. The covenant we have now doesn't have healing in it. I'm not saying it that way, but in essence they are, because they're saying it was only available, you know, when Jesus walked the earth. And after the apostles died, then it was no longer around. You hear some people say that, making it sound like there was some way God dealt with man then, and now he's dealing with them differently. Well, actually, God's been dealing with everybody the same since Jesus. We are under a different covenant, the old covenant, but this covenant's better than that one, not less, it's more. That's like saying we're going to miss out on stuff in heaven. No, heaven's more than everything down here, not less. There's going to be more joy. There's going to be more peace. There's going to be more enjoyment and fulfillment and purpose in heaven than there is here. Heaven is everything here plus all the good. Amen? It's every good thing down here and no bad thing. No bad at all. No sin at all. Nothing that hurts, harms, or causes pain is in heaven. So this covenant, these covenants get better. God, this new covenant with Jesus is better than the old covenant. If they had a healing in the old covenant, we got it in the new. Are you with me? And one of the paramount scriptures about salvation, when you think about it, is that who his own self bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we being dead to sins might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Ooh, 1 Peter 2:24. So in that verse, he tells us he bore our sins and he took our sicknesses. So healing's always been something God does. It's not something even relegated to a time or a covenant, if you think about it. Because it's just part of his nature and his character. Healing is a good thing, and that's what God does. Healing helps people, and that's what God does. That's like saying God doesn't help the poor anymore. You know, he used to in Jesus' day, but now since the last apostle died, he doesn't help the poor anymore. Well, no, I mean, come on. God's still God. He's still alive. He's still helping people. Amen. And if he ever healed anybody, he still heals people today. Because it is his character and his nature to do so. It's who he is. You can't separate that from who he is and what he has to offer. You know, I think about even the New Testament, you know, when you talk about that, what God gives. And we'll get into some of that, because you'll read some verses here, even in the Old Testament, sounds like God is placing, or God is giving sickness to people. But really, God doesn't give sickness. He doesn't have it to give. Now, he will lay it on people judgmentally because of their sin, but the sickness comes because of the sin. And he can revert that. I mean, if you repent and lay it on someone else instead of you, if they sin and you don't, but he's just judging, he's not giving you something he has. That's a result of what you did. I mean, sin came into the world, but not because God brought it in. Sin came into the world because Adam sins. Adam brought sin into the world, and through sin came death. Now, God is the judge, and judgment comes on people's actions, and so it sounds like God is making you sick and putting this on you and putting this. But that's not really true. What he's doing is just removing his hand, and the judgment comes. Now, he can come and remove the sickness if you repent. Are you with me? Are you out there? Because when you get to heaven, he doesn't have any more to offer up. There's no more sickness up there. He doesn't have it to give. In fact, the gifts of the Holy Ghost, there's not a gift of sickness. You ever notice that? There's not a gift of, you know, of doubt, a gift of unbelief. There's a gift of faith. There's not a gift of stupidity. There's a gift of wisdom, gift of word of wisdom, gift of word of knowledge. There's a gift of healing, gifts of healing. There's no gifts. God doesn't have that to give. Are you with me? Now, as the great judge, he has to pass sentence when we sin. But whatever comes on us because of our sin is what we created or brought, or what came into the world ultimately through Adam, and has affected us ever since. But he didn't come out of heaven with sickness and put it on the earth. That came out of Adam's sin, his rejection. That's exactly what the Bible says. Through Adam, sin entered the world. Through sin came death. Okay, Exodus 15:26. Let's look at this. Look at some of these scriptures. And this is, now bear in mind, this is old covenant. I'm looking at an old covenant, not the one built on better promises the Hebrews tells us about. That a more excellent covenant with a more excellent high priest, built on better promises with a better high priest and a better temple. So any good was in this old, we got it in the new. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Exodus 15:26. Now this is after they came out across the Red Sea, but dry land. They danced and they shouted, and Miriam had her tambourine, and she, you know, she jumped and danced, and they sang, "The horse and the rider thrown into the sea. Thou hast triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider thrown into the sea." I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and rider is thrown into the sea. The Lord my God, my strength, my song, has now become my victory. She sings that song there in the 15th chapter. She's dancing around and shaking her tambourine. And he goes right on down and it says in the 26th verse, "And if you will diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight and give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases on you which I have brought upon the Egyptians." Now, why did it come on the Egyptians? Their rebellion, right? Their sin. So we know from Jesus that, you know, God is not the Lord that makes you sick. I mean, he's not. That's actually their rebellion to God. That wasn't God offering, giving them something. That was them rejecting God. They had to reject God to even get sick. Are you with me? That's not saying you have to reject God to get sick. Sickness is in the world and it can sucker punch you, I'm saying. But it came because of sin, someone's rejection, ultimately Adam's. And it says here, "I will put none of these diseases on you which I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." One of the redemptive names of God, Jehovah, Rapha, you know, he is the Lord that heals us. I am the Lord that heals you. Nowhere in the Bible do you see God saying, "I am the Lord that maketh thee sick." Not there. And you think, well, he just said he brought sickness on them. Would he make them sick? Well, no, that was their sin. In fact, he said, "All you got to do is start serving me and I'll take it off of you." And if anything God does with sickness, he does remove it. He'll remove it if you believe God and stand on the word and serve him, so on and so forth, and protect you in that sense. But this bringing on, that was just judgment. That was just because of what they did. In fact, if any one of those Egyptians called on the Lord their God and diligently hearkened to his voice and did that which is right in his sight, he'd remove sickness from them. In fact, if Pharaoh hadn't hardened his heart, nothing bad would ever happen to Egypt. Not one thing would ever happen to him if they hadn't rebelled against God. Because God is the Lord that heals. But if you reject God and you don't want God and you don't want his hand on you and you want his blessing on you, you know what? Inevitably, cursing is going to come. Because blessing only comes from God. Are you out there? Healing only comes from God. Oh, hallelujah. Y'all out here. Look at, while you're in Exodus, look at Exodus 23. Now there again, we're just looking at Old Testament scripture. And challenge you when you're talking about God's nature and his character, what kind of God this is, who is this God we're serving here, what does the Bible say about this God? Is he the God of hate? For hate is of God, and he that hateth is of God, for God is hate. Does it say that? It says God's love, doesn't it? Okay, so you can't. See, if God is a particular thing, then he's not everything. Does that make sense? I mean, if I were to say, I saw a woman, well, automatically I've separated her from a man. You know immediately when I say I saw a woman, that wasn't a man. Isn't that right? Because as soon as you say a particular thing, then in that same breath, that same statement, you're saying more than just what you just said. You're saying something that is not. If I'm saying this is a chair, then obviously I'm telling you it's not a table. Right? So if God is a particular thing, and the Bible is very plain, he is. God's not everything. Nowhere in the Bible does it say God is everything. In fact, all through the Bible, we learn about who he is. So we can separate him from what is not him. Isn't that right? And so we know he's love, so hate's not of God, right? So we don't hate because God is love, and love is of God, and everyone loveth. The Bible tells us, 1 John 4:7-8, that God is love. Well, if he says, "I am the Lord that healeth thee," well, automatically I know that he's not the Lord then that maketh me sick. Right? Because if he is one thing, he's not the opposite. He's not confused. He's not the antithesis of what he says he is. If he loves us, then he doesn't hate us. Okay? If he's good, then he's not bad. If he's the Lord that healeth us, and that's the title he claimed, that's what he says about himself, and never one time do you ever see in the Bible where he says, I am the Lord that maketh thee sick. Then, if he's the Lord that heals me, then he's not the one that makes me sick. That's just common sense. Come on. And I realize the longer I live and the older I get that common sense really ain't all that common. But, nonetheless, are you out of here? God's a healer. Now, in Exodus 23rd chapter, verse 25, notice what it says here. So you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. There he is, take it away. So he'll take it away from you. Right? So God wants us to serve him. He's the one to put the carrot on the stick now. He wants us to serve him for a purpose, for a reason, for a benefit. And he wants to bless us when we serve him. He wants to move in our lives and gift us and give us something when we serve him. And in this case, he wants to give us healing. And so he removes the thing that's on us because we're not serving him, that he didn't put on us, that he wasn't behind, that he didn't gift us with. He wants to remove that. He said he'll take it away from you. Ooh, I like that. Isn't that right? Because that didn't come from him. Oh, you want to come to Jesus? You want to serve Jesus? Well, come on, serve me. I'll take that sickness off you. Y'all catching this? I didn't put that on you. In fact, you'll come to me, I'll take that off you. Oh, that pain you're going through, that depression you're fighting day in and day out, that inferiority that you deal with because you just don't feel like you count and nobody loves you. Hey, come to me, all you that labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon and learn of me. I'm gentle and hallelujah. Think about it. You'll find rest to your souls. In other words, I'll take off you what I didn't put on you. I'll take off you what came on you because you're away from me. Come serve me. I'll bless your bread and water, and I'll take all sickness away from the midst of you. Hallelujah. So now what God gives is what he has to offer. What he takes away is what he didn't do. Right? And that's what Jesus did. He took away sickness, and he bore sickness, and by his stripes were healed. Hallelujah. He cast out devils. See, he took away what wasn't him, and he gave what he was and what he had to offer. And you see him in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John doing that. I mean, he's healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out devils, and his only connection with sickness was removing it, getting rid of it, and taking it off us, and bearing it for us. He took our sin, because he didn't put that on us either. We did that. In his own body, he bore our sin on a tree. And by stripes you're healed. He took our sickness, because that wasn't him either, see? That was the result of what Adam did. As a result of a broken, fallen world that we live in. There's no sickness in heaven. I'll tell you what. There actually is no healing in heaven, because no one ever gets sick in heaven. That's when that which is perfect has come. That which is in part will be passed away. Now we know in part. Now we see in part. Now we prophesy in part, and so on and so forth. And all these gifts that we have, we need them. But we're not going to need gifts like that in heaven, because you don't need healing if no one ever gets sick. Wow. The three greatest, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of those is love. It abides forever. It'll outlast everything. It'll outlast every gift. Because when you get to heaven, and that's what 1 Corinthians 13 is talking about. It's not talking about the Bible. It's talking about the coming of the Lord. When we are changed, our bodies change, we go to heaven. We're not going to need any gifts. We won't need those, because no one gets sick to need healing. And you don't need to pray in tongues or speak in tongues, because you'll be in the presence of God and understand fully and completely what he's saying. You'll understand what he's saying. He'll understand what you're saying. Totally, fully, completely. Woo. Good stuff. So, it says here in Exodus 23:25, so you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. I love it. I love it. In fact, if you take that apart, I pray that often. That's one of my main prayers over meals. I'll say, Lord, thank you for this meal and this day and this fellowship. You said if we serve you, bless our bread and water, take all sickness away from the midst of us. So I thank you that our food is blessed and we are healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. My Lord, if they did it under that old covenant, how much more under this new? You know, I remember when Jesus was talking about some of the types and shadows of the Old Testament. In John, the third chapter, remember, he's talking to Nicodemus. Nicodemus came to him by night and, you know, and says, we know you're a teacher come from God. No man can do these miracles except God be with him. And he says, well, except a man born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And, you know, Nicodemus had that oration with him and said, how can a man enter the second time and mother's womb be born? Can he enter the second time? Jesus says, except a man born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And he said, that which is flesh, flesh, that was spirit of spirit. And, you know, you got to be born of the water and of the spirit, water birth, natural birth, spirit birth, born again birth. And he goes right out and he's still talking to him. And he says, man, Nicodemus, don't you know these things I'm talking to you about? You know, you see the wind, but you don't see the wind, but you hear the wind, you feel the effect of it. And then he goes on and says an amazing thing. He says, you know, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, remember that typology? Because of their sin, snakes came and bit people and they died. And so Moses prayed to God, and God said, make a bronze serpent, put it on a stick, and whoever looks to the stick will be healed. Everybody say healed. Good. Well, Jesus said this, and he was talking, that was an antithesis, that was a type of Christ. Because he said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. Are you with me? And whosoever looks on him, see, would be healed. Then he goes on into, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that he gave that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So if we could look on a brazen serpent in the old covenant and be healed, how much more, which is just a type, it wasn't even the original, just a shadow, how much more can we not look on Jesus, who that foreshadowed, and not be healed and forgiven, all in one fell swoop, as it were, if we look up to him in faith? Jesus is the one that used the example. He's the one that pulled out that typology. If there was healing in a bronze serpent, there's healing in Jesus. Are you with me? If when a snake bites you, you need to look up, amen, and look to Jesus and get your healing. Everything on this old covenant was just preparing us for the new. Everything under the old covenant was a type and a shadow. It was just a foreshadowing of something better that was coming. And that something better is a someone better, and that is Jesus. So we're under a new covenant, a better one. If you can find healing in this old covenant, I'm telling you, just logic, it's just common sense. Come on, just biblical. Just look at the Bible. If you can find it in the old covenant, you got it in the new. Woo. And they had to jump through hoops and blow whistles and all kinds of stuff to get it done. All we got to do is believe on Jesus. All we got to do is use the name. Hey, turn to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 7. And here it is again. Just repeat it over and over and over. Deuteronomy 7, and this lists some blessings. This is kind of like Deuteronomy 28, where it says, you know, if you hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, do that which is right in his sight, and obey his commandments, which is commanded this day, all these blessings, the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings will come on you, and they will overtake you. And blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field, and blessed shall you be coming in, and blessed shall you be going out, and the fruit of your body, the fruit of your kind, the fruit of your cattle, and the flock of your sheep, and on and on and on and on. Cause the rain to come down your land and its seas. Bless, from following God and honoring God. Well, that's kind of similar here in the seventh chapter. He talks about some things that if you'll serve him, you'll keep his commandments, that these blessings will come on you. And he says in the 15th verse, he says, and the Lord will take away from you all sickness and will afflict you with none of the terrible diseases of Egypt, which you have known, but will lay them on those that hate you. In other words, their sin will bring it on them, but I'll remove it from you if you'll serve me. I'll tell you, as an addendum, he could have gone on and said, and if those people I lay it on turn to me, I'll take it off them too. Are you with me? But the point is that the Lord will take away from you all sickness. All sickness. All sickness. Well, yeah, but what I've got, they didn't have back then. Well, it says all sickness. Amen. Yeah, but this disease, they didn't have that disease back then. It says all sickness. The Lord take away from you all sickness. Ooh, hallelujah. Aren't you glad? Anybody know what all means? Just means all. It means every one of them. Hey, turn to Psalms. Psalms 30. This is a good one. This helping you? I hope you're writing notes because they're, yeah, you know, there's several. There's a whole list of scriptures you could just get into when you're talking about healing. I wrote a bunch of them down years ago and even put, I customized them is what I did, and put I am on them. In fact, I've got that list. In fact, these three scriptures I just went over, Exodus 15:26, I put the Lord heals me. Exodus 23:25 says God takes sickness from me. Deuteronomy 7:15, God takes all sickness away from me again. I just make it personal, you know, make it short, not real long. But I just list them down here, and you know, just get up and begin to quote these verses and go over them. But I personalize them. I mean, the Bible's no good if you don't personalize it. For God so loved the world, gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Won't help you unless you believe. Amen? Until you can say, for God so loved me that he gave me his only begotten Son, and I have believed on him, therefore I will not perish. I have eternal life. Amen? Until you make that personal, that scripture won't help you. And that's the question. It's not, you know, what are you? Are you a Christian? Well, I'm a Baptist. Hello. Or a Methodist. Or Assembly of God. Or a Pentecostal. Or a Catholic. Or right on down the list. Thank God for churches. We're pro-church. But that's not what saves you. You have to say, yes, I believe in Jesus. That makes you a Christian. To as many as received him, to them gave you power to become sons of God. John 1:12 says, and Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, we're not confessing I'm International Outreach Church. Thank God for this church, but and I pray for this church, and I thank the Lord for this church, no doubt. But I got saved by confessing Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and I and you and all of us are Jesus people forever, eternally, because we have confessed Jesus. And thank God for Catholics, thank God for Baptists and Methodists, and thank God for International Outreach Church. Amen. So, here in Psalms, make it personal. Here's David, he's just doing what he does, just praising God and, you know, believing God and trusting God. The first verse says that, I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. Hallelujah. I'm still alive today. You've kept me, you protected me, you saved me. Second verse, O Lord, my God, I cried out to you and you healed me. Oh, my Lord. Come on now. If Dave can cry out to God and get healed, how much more can you cry out to God and get healed? Amen. You know, there's somebody came up to Jesus and talking about John the Baptist, and Jesus said, well, you know, John, amongst those, you know, prophets, there's none greater than John the Baptist. But the least in the kingdom of heaven, the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he is. That's Jesus speaking. Are y'all catching that? And he wasn't dissing John, and he wasn't saying anything against John. He was talking about a new covenant's coming. Yeah, John's a great man, no doubt, amongst the prophets in the old covenant. I mean, there's none greater. Born among women, there's none greater than John. But the least in the kingdom, because there's something coming that's going to be even greater than what we got right now. That's what he's telling them. You know, when I rise from the dead and start this new covenant, you'll be new creatures in Christ Jesus. You no longer be servants, you'll be sons. Are you with me? And just the least in the kingdom is greater than he. So here's David. David's saying, I cried to the Lord and he healed me. Well, how much more could you cry to God and get healed? If you're just the least in the kingdom. In status with God. Now, I know God loves us all the same. I understand that. But in status, covenant terms. In other words, the dealings that God has with us, our relationship with God. Everyone in this room right now is greater in status than everyone in the Old Testament. Or Jesus lied. And we know he didn't lie. Now, they've been perfected. Okay, I understand that. But whatever they had access to, and whatever relationship they had with God, you and I have a closer relationship just by virtue of being a born-again believer, just by virtue of being a child of God now, a new creature in Christ Jesus, no longer a servant but a son, no longer bringing all these sacrifices down to the altar every year and throughout the year. No, we've had our sacrifice. His name's Jesus. And he sat down on the right hand of God, and he made this thing good forever. And all I got to do is call on his name. Hallelujah. And whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, delivered, and healed, and set free. If I ask anything in his name, he'll do it for me. It's what he said. Jesus told me that. And we whine and moan and groan and struggle and feel inferior and think we're not worthy and God doesn't love us. And David said, I cried to the Lord and he healed me. Amen. Well, man, if David cries to the Lord and get healed, I can get healed. David wasn't even born again. Thank God for David. Thank God for all he did. Thank God for his place in biblical history and so on and so forth and lineage that Jesus came through and all that. But he was not even saved. He was under an old covenant waiting for a Messiah that had not come yet and would not come for hundreds of years. And yet, even under that covenant, he could cry to God and God would heal him. Mm-mm. That's good stuff. Amen. Okay, while we're in Psalms, turn to Psalm 67. Now, I know I've quoted a few New Testament scriptures. We ain't got in the New Testament yet. We're still just perusing through the Old Covenant. Hadn't even talked about that woman with the issue of blood and that Matthew's servant, Matthew 8, the centurion servant that got healed. Hadn't even talked about the man let down through the roof, the sick of the palsy that got healed, or the 10 lepers and the one that got completely, totally healed that came back and worshiped the Lord. I ain't got into some of that. Are you with me? The woman been over for 13 years, or 18 years, excuse me, been over, and Jesus touched her, and she stood up straight, healed. The man had the withered hand that stretched out. I mean, on and on and on. I mean, we ain't even touched on the New Testament yet. We're just in Psalms. No, Psalm 67, real short psalm. I love this psalm, not because it's short, but I love it because the content of it, you know. Y'all mess with me, and I'll read you Psalms 119 from start to finish. That's a big one. The biggest, longest chapter in the Bible. But notice what it says here. Psalm 67 says, to the chief musician on stringed instruments, a psalm, a song. That's what psalms were. Psalms were praises. God be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. Selah is a Hebrew word. It meant stop and think about that. So, he said, you know, I like this because you don't see people crying out to God. God, I need some poverty. I need some pain. I need some darkness. I need some depression. I need some sickness. No one calls on God for that, okay? You don't go to God for that. In fact, we can get sick without God, and we can get depressed without God, and we can get poor without God. You don't need God for that. You can wind up on the side of the road without God. Come on, you can lose your home without the Lord, lose your marriage, you lose your dignity, you can lose everything without God. You can, but see, if you want to gain something, if you want something good to happen, you got to go to God because God is good. Isn't that right? And you don't see anybody praying to God, oh God, make my life miserable. Oh God, hurt me. Oh God, take all my good stuff away from me. Oh Lord, I'm just having such a good day. Would you darken the clouds for me? Please, please burn my house down. Please, Lord, do so. They never cried out to God for that. Why is that? Because that's not what God does. You don't see prayers like that. You know, Lord, make me sick. Well, God doesn't make people sick. Lord, burn my house down. Well, he doesn't do those kinds of things. They didn't do that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John either. Jesus didn't do that at once. And nobody came to Jesus and says, man, I've just come into a windfall. All my money's come in, and I've got houses and lands. Would you please take it all away? You know, you don't see that. Somebody comes running up, say, Lord Jesus, please cripple me. Or I can see so good. Lord, blind me. I mean, those aren't the kinds of things you ask God for because God does not do those things. That's not what God is about. Y'all out there. So it says, Lord, be merciful. Well, that's what you ask for. Lord, bless us. Cause your face to shine upon us. Turn, look at me. See, that was like getting the ear of someone in charge, an authority, a judge, or, you know, judge me. Come on, turn to me, Lord, please, turn to me. Vindicate me, free me, stand up for me. Look, don't deny me. Don't ignore me. Don't turn away from me. Look to me. Cause your face to shine. Because if God ever puts his attention on you, blessing's going to come. If he ever looks on you, he's going to help you. Because that's what he does when he looks on you. If he ever gets involved in your life, he's going to make it better, not worse. Because that's what God does. God makes things better, not worse. So that's why we want God in our life. Because God is our life. And our strength, and our health, and our joy, and our victory, and our success. He is. It's when he's absent that we get messed up. It's when we turn away that we get in problems and mess and so on and so forth. So, Lord, cause your face to shine upon me. Be merciful to bless me. Cause your face to shine on me. The second verse, that your way may be known on the earth, your saving health. The King James says your salvation, but saving health may be known among all nations. You're saving health among all nations. In other words, if he would turn his face, if we'd truly see him, healing would be obvious and evident. Salvation and deliverance would come. And all we need is for him to turn and look on us and be merciful and bless us. It's his absence that causes all these problems. It's his presence that brings all these blessings. Many times in the Old Testament, bad things would happen when people would, his people even, and other nations would get into bondage, through defeat. They'd lose battles and plagues and things would come upon them. Many times it says, God says, I have abandoned you because you have abandoned me. In other words, you turned your back and tied his hands. And I guarantee you, anytime you turn back around, you can untie his hands again. Anytime you come, he'll turn, just like the prodigal son and his father who stood on the road, looked for his coming, and he saw his son afar off coming. When he turned, his father was looking for him, waiting for him to come back. But when God gets involved, healing comes. Saving health comes. You know, it's not generally criminals that tend to be nurses and doctors. It's not generally high school dropouts and people that are in gangs that generally become doctors and nurses. It's usually people that want to do something, make a difference, and help people. You ever notice that? It's not really mobsters and gangsters and that turn out to help people. People help people when they have a passion, when they have a compassion, when they have a desire and a drive that it's a good thing. It's a good thing. To help people is good. Generally, criminals and mobsters and gangsters, and you know, they steal and they rob and they hurt. Are you with me? I mean, unless they get saved. I mean, if they get saved, that turns everything around. But I'm talking about if you go down that road, if you're going to be a bad person, then you're not going to go out and help people. You're not going to go be a policeman or fireman. Are you with me? Usually it's a desire to make a difference. It's a desire to want to help somebody. It's a desire to be productive and be a part of the answer to the part of the problem that makes people want to go out and help people and do good. Are you with me? That's no indictment on anybody that's been through those kinds of things in the past, bad things. You can turn your life around. All you got to do is come to Jesus. But if you come to Jesus, you won't do that anymore. You won't be that gangster. You won't be that mobster. You won't be that mafia guy. You won't be out there killing, stealing, and all those kinds of things. It's amazing how many. I'm amazed, even in the medical profession. You can take police profession, you take fireman profession. How many people that believe in God? How many people that are Christians? Now, not every one of them are, but I'm saying there's just. I would say the statistics are much higher than they are, say, in the gangster world. Are you out there? But why is that? Why is that? Because God's good. And God does good things. And God's into helping people. Amen. You know, he's into healing people. Hallelujah. You know, most major hospitals were Christian organizations that started them. Oh, come on, man. They were Christian organizations. Some started out of denominations, Methodist Hospital, Presbyterian Hospital, Baylor, come as Baptist, you know. I mean, most of these big, huge hospitals started because Christians started them. Healing is God, amen, is of the Lord, hallelujah. So we want him to, his face to shine upon us, his saving health to be made known, his salvation to be made known. Look at Psalms 91, hallelujah. Wow, have a hard time getting out of Psalms. Psalms 91, and of course this psalm is just, man, I've got that whole psalm personalized, you know, I dwell in the secret place of the Most High. I abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, He's my shield, my truth, my buckler, all. You know, I mean, I make it very personal. Surely He will deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He'll cover me with His feathers. And under His wings I will take refuge, and His truth and shall be my shield and buckler, and I will not be afraid of the terror by night. You know, I just go through there and just put me. I put me. Well, listen, if anybody could say it, you could say it. You're under a new covenant, a better covenant. You got a new Lord and a new Savior and a new high priest, and you got a better tabernacle built on better promises, the Bible says. Are you out there? And then he goes on down in the 10th verse, and he says this. He says, no evil shall befall you, nor any plague come near your dwelling. No, not in my house. See, we got to stand our ground. Are you with me? We got to stand our ground as Christians, as believers, and come against sickness. You say, well, it's all in my house. Well, drive it out. I'm not saying you don't get sucker punched. I get sucker punched too. You know, but what are you going to do? Don't just lay there. Get in the Word and get the name of Jesus on it and say, I am a Christian. I am a believer. The Lord is the Lord that heals me. He takes away from me all sickness. Hallelujah. Paul, David cried to God and got healed. I am crying to God and getting healed. And Lord, you're known for your saving health. Now turn your face and shine on me so the world can see your saving health in me. Hallelujah. Amen. And my house, you said you'd protect my house. So right now I drive this out in Jesus' name. And no sickness, no flu, no stomach virus, whatever it is, come near my dwelling. Are you with me? He said, well, I tried that and didn't work. Well, do it again. I've done a lot of things that didn't work. I prayed a lot of prayers, didn't happen. But that doesn't change God. Doesn't change His Word. Doesn't change one thing in the Bible. And I tell you what that means. That means I missed it, not Him. And that's okay. I'm not perfect, but He is. Are you out there? That's no condemnation. That's not slapping anybody in the face. That's not saying you're a bad person because you prayed and something didn't happen. Has anybody been a little unfocused before? Anybody? Is anybody really in your life? I mean, maybe sometime 10 years ago. Maybe you just weren't really focused like you should be. Maybe you weren't adamant like a dog on a hunt, you know. You kind of slipped. You kind of gave up. Maybe you got a little negative or something when you prayed. I know not y'all, but some people do that. Have you ever prayed and had that happen? I've done it. Well, and that's why nothing happened. And God doesn't hate me, and I don't hate me, and I hope you don't hate me. But God doesn't change God, and doesn't change His Word, and doesn't change what He said He'd do. It means I need to get more serious. And we're not talking about supermen and superwomen. We're not perfect. None of us are perfect in that respect. There's no condemnation, and we're not here to condemn anybody at all, because we got no stones to throw. We've all been there. But the truth is, not your experience or my experience, or whether it worked for you or didn't work for you, the truth is what God says. That's the truth, and that's what we preach, and that's what we teach, and that's what we stand on. And you know what? If I fall down, I get back up. If I get knocked over, I get back on my feet, and we hit this thing again. I am going to ride this horse, okay? We're going to get this thing right. We're going to keep it up, and we're going to keep believing, and we're going to keep standing on the Word, because God is a healer. Psalms 103. Oh, man, this one's too good. I don't know if you're ready for this one. Man, are you kidding me? I'm not going to get into the New Testament tonight. That's okay. It's still good, isn't it? We'll just wrap it up with this one. I pray this helps you. And the thing I want to continue to emphasize is all these Old Testament scriptures, we got a better covenant. I mean, if it's so adamant and so strong, so forceful here, how much more forceful, strong, and adamant could it be in the New Covenant? If we'll get serious. I've heard people say, well, if you believe God heals, why don't you go to the hospital and clean all the hospitals out? Well, you know, you have to believe, and not everybody's at that point where they can. Not everybody does believe. Not everybody's been taught. That's like saying if you believe God saves, why don't you go to the jail and clean all the jails out? Doesn't Jesus save? Now, if you go down the jail, you think everybody's going to get saved? No, some will reject it, and some won't accept it, and some that's just life. God's not going to force his will on anybody. And then people are at different stages in their walk, you know, with God or trying to find God or whatever the case may be. But if there's an open door and somebody wants prayer, pray for them. Hallelujah. Doesn't mean you can clean the hospital out. Doesn't mean you can clean the jails out because he saves. But he does save. How many of you know he saves? And would you be hesitant to tell someone they could be saved if they really truly believe and come to him with all their heart? You ought to be, you shouldn't hesitate a minute to tell someone that. And you shouldn't hesitate to tell someone they'd be healed too. If they really want to, if they really believe and come to him, we'll pray for you. We'll agree with you and lay our hands on you. And hallelujah. Okay. Doesn't mean everybody's going to receive it. Doesn't mean everybody's going to accept it. But it's still there. Still there. Psalms 103, verse 1 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." Hallelujah, somebody. Man, bless God. Let's bless him. Let's praise him. Amen. All that is within me ought to bless him. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." You mean there's benefits for serving God? Yes, there are. In fact, we've gone over some already. And many of the passages we looked at list several things that will happen if you'll serve him. If you go out and read those chapters, some of those chapters we read, we just read a verse or two out of them. But if you go read the context of those, Deuteronomy 7, Deuteronomy 28, which I referred to, there's a whole list of things that God will do if you'll serve him. It pays to serve God. Crime does not pay. You know that old saying? Well, crime doesn't pay. It doesn't pay good. It pays. It pays in jail. It pays in pain. It pays in loss. Are you with me? But God pays. Hallelujah. And he's the one that said it. I didn't say that. You know, people say, well, you all just a bless me church. Y'all just, yeah, we are. We absolutely are. You get out here, you're going to get blessed. You get a hold of this, it's going to change your life and make it better. We're sure not a curse me church. Oh, that's just a bless me club down there. Well, you know, there's churches that have a curse me club if you want to go there. We have a bless me club over here. Serve God and he'll bless you. Serve God and you'll come out of that mess. You're going to have to work on it. I mean, some things take time. You didn't get in the mess you're in overnight. May not get out overnight, but you can get out. If you'll take it slow, take it easy, and just start trusting God and believing God, your life will improve and it will get better. And, you know, ultimately you'll go to heaven. Yes, we do believe in blessings. We don't believe it's cheap. It costs the blood of Jesus. We don't believe it just comes flippantly. We believe you have to get serious about it. But if you are serious and you do want to serve God and you do want to call on him and you do want to trust him, believe him, he will help you. Without any question, he will. And it says here that we are not to forget his benefits. And I believe the church has forgotten a lot of God's benefits. I think the church as a whole has, not us, but there are some church. Good people love God. But they have just split up so many things and relegated so many of his blessings to time periods and covenants and forgotten his blessings. And he starts right out in the third verse. I'll close this. He says, "Who forgives all your iniquities." We pretty well got that one down. But in the same verse, it says, "Who heals all your diseases." Wow. Now, wouldn't it be something you say, well, that's old covenant. Okay, so now he doesn't forgive our iniquities. Well, of course he does. Come on. You can't pull that one on this verse because this verse says he forgives our sins. Oh, yeah, but he's talking it under an old covenant. Well, wait a minute. So he doesn't forgive us then? Of course he forgives us. And he heals all of our diseases. Now, don't forget, because if you're not careful, you'll forget that, and you'll go through life and never take advantage of it, and it's there for the taking and for the asking if you'll ask, but if you forget, you won't ask. It's still there, but you won't experience it, because it requires your faith, it does require you to call, it does require you to remember and not forget. And I think we've forgotten in a lot of cases. Are you with me? It's there, but we forgot. And Jesus reminded us, boy, he sure reminded us in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the book of Acts, they reminded us, but somehow we forgot it. And somehow we just kind of pushed it aside. And you know, maybe we'll get healed, maybe we won't. Maybe he'll help us, maybe he won't. At least I'm saved and going to heaven. Well, thank God you're saved and going to heaven. But you know what? God also wants to heal you. Hallelujah. Let's don't forget. Amen. So, we've got Exodus 15:26, Exodus 23:25. We've got Deuteronomy 7:15. We've got Psalms 30:2. We've got Psalm 67:2. We've got Psalm 91:10. And we've got Psalms 103:3. Hadn't even scratched the surface. I think it's pretty solid doctrine, wouldn't you? That God's in the healing business. It's not just on a rare occasion mentioned. I mean, it's all through the Bible that God is a healing God. And you and I need to get healed. Amen? We need to be healed in Jesus' name. Stay healthy. Hallelujah. All right. Well, stand up with us if you would. Hallelujah. That help you tonight.
Amen.
Do you some good.
Amen.
Amen. Mo.
You know, he says in a lot of those things that he preferences his heart. Keep my commandments.
Yeah.
Keep my statutes.
Yeah.
In other words, keep your eyes on me.
Yeah, focus.
Because, that's what it is. Focus.
Yeah.
Because if you do that, then I'm there for you.
Yeah.
You can't forget his benefits.
No. Yeah, and it all comes from him, so we can't, it's not outside of him, it's only in him. And you know, and I was talking about, you don't go to God to ask for sick.